the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with the good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
Yes, if anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, the West Indies doing battle against New Zealand. We're going to go straight to Brian Waddle, who, of course, is in New Zealand. He's with us already. Carl Llewellyn Hooper has joined us. And look who we found, Garfield Charles. Yes, I remember him bowling very well at Border. Not yesterday, maybe back in 1920 or 1921. Yeah, hello, Garfield. Not that old, of
course. Easy.
It's really great to see him.
You know for the old, Andrew.
In fact, this show this evening is dominated by Guyanese, because, of course, Basil Butcher. He's soon to be senior. He is very much a part of the program this evening. So we're going to get a report pretty soon. Of course, the Super 50 was held. Lots of games being washed out in 15 matches, 8 washed out. There were 4 abandoned games with not a ball being bowled. In fact, Guyana had about 4 or so matches where they didn't play at all. I don't know, how can you play cricket at this time of the year in Trinidad and Tobago? And of course, Joel Garner, the most honourable Joel Garner. Well, of course, they say patience is bitter, but his fruits are sweet. And in the final analysis, richly deserved, we want to congratulate him, Joel Big Bird Garner. And at this time, in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, you know, there's the swearing-in ceremony for the ministers, and I'm going to try perhaps pretty soon to go there to see what's happening with Dr. Kishore Shallow. I understand he may very well become a minister there in St. Vincent. We want to congratulate the West Indies president for winning his seat comfortably, and we wait to see what happens as far as that is concerned. Without any further ado, let's go to Brian Waddle, who's there. Brian, I know with interest that the West Indies had a pretty good first day, but already they've lost an early wicket. Hello to you, Brian.
Yeah, good evening. It's it was an early wicket, but they managed to clean New Zealand up without the addition of a run. So 231 is where the New Zealand total sits. But they lose the early wicket of Campbell to the bowling of Zach Fuchs, who might not have had the new ball had it not been for the fact that the West Indies have 3 left-handers at the top of the order. He takes the ball away from the left-handers, and he did it with the first ball of his spell. So he had Campbell out for 1. But I think that the West Indies can reflect on what was a very good first day from their point of view, bearing in mind they won the toss, they put New Zealand into bat. At one stage, New Zealand were 94 for 1, yet they lost their last 9 wickets for 137 runs. I guess you can make your final judgments by how well the other side bat in their first innings, and they're going to be facing some of the same difficult conditions that New Zealand faced yesterday, with good bounce in this pitch, just a bit of pace in there, and the ball nipping about, as they tend to do early on. Once the pitch settles down, of course, it may well be an interesting challenge for both sides. But the process at the moment will be how well Chanderpaul and Athanase can see themselves through the period to lunch, an extended period, because 25 minutes added for the time lost yesterday. So at the moment, 8 for 1 in reply to 231. Not a bad start to the test for the Windies.
No, not at all. Let's go to Carl Hooper for his assessment of the first day's play. Carl? You're not hearing you, Carl.
You're muted, Carl.
Can you help him, Dr. Ford? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear
me?
Yeah,
loud and clear. How nice is
it? Oh, good, good. Well, let me say good day to all. Big Reds, good to see you.
Carl.
Where are you? Where are you, Garfield?
I had the ground in New Zealand, in Christchurch.
Oh, yeah, the ground.
Okay, wonderful. No, east of the ground, wonderful.
No, look.
I watching it live as you speak.
I said an interesting day. I think 2:31, winning the toss and asking New Zealand to bat, they probably would have taken it. But after looking at the way or the conditions in which we had presented to us the bowling, I probably would have been more happy with a 170, 180.
Mm-hmm.
Even though New Zealand were around, well, what they were, 81 for one or 91 for one, I still think that if we'd probably gotten more balls in the right areas, early doors, I reckon 170, 180, I'd have probably been a bit more happy with. But look, 231, I think so far looking at cricket this morning, conditions look, it's still challenging, but it's not as bad as yesterday morning. So hopefully we can dig in, get a start. But we definitely need to get a lead in this first innings.
Mm.
So we can try and push for a win.
Mm-hmm. Garfield, you're at the ground. What are the conditions like there? Nice weather?
Well, it was really interesting because the forecast yesterday said there was going to be a little bit of rain at 9 and clear for the rest of the day. And we had rain all morning. And this forecast today said it was going to be raining all day. And so far, we haven't seen any rain. It's been dry. So, but it's overcast. It's a bit chilly. An easterly wind coming across the ground. So as you speak, I think Matt Henry's bowling with the outswing breeze. And folks from the other end is using that in-swing breeze to good effect. Agreeing with both Wads and Carl just said, it's going to be challenging. There is a lot of movement there. Less bounce. Yeah, and as we speak, we gotta have less shots than that. We gotta be a bit more patient and play the ball under our eyes for a bit longer.
Mm.
Yeah, because the ball will move around all day. Yeah.
Mm, I see. Well, what's the crowd like there, Garfield?
There's a smattering.
Oh,
a smattering. I guess in today's world where they're playing these games sort of midweek. I guess if it was England or India, there we would have had a few more people. But not a lot of people. But we're pushed on the embankment on a very pleasant, hoping for a full day's play.
Yeah, Garfield, for the benefit of my listeners, of course, there's several people who listen to the show. What are you doing in New Zealand? How long have you been there, Garfield Charles?
I first came out in 1991, so that was about 34 years ago.
Long time.
But so I've been living here since 94, so 31 years.
Mm. Well, did you go back to Ghana to vote?
not to vote, but I went for a reunion last March.
Oh, you did, huh? Mm, okay,
I see. That get his grant. Shell Shield, yes. Reunion.
Yes.
The 1983 team. So, yeah, I was there in March. That's the first time I've been, first and only time I've been there since 1994.
Oh, I see. And you were struck by the changes in Ghana, Carl?
Oh, massively. I walked past my grandmother's house. I didn't even recognize it. House that I grew up in Christchurch.
Carl, when last have you gone back to Ghana, Carl?
I was there last year.
Okay.
Last year.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this year, the test series.
Oh, yes.
Earlier this year, yeah, the test series. Yeah, I was back home for 2 days.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah, so I visit often, man.
Yeah.
Unlike Charlie.
but Carlos, you dealing with cricket, and you're going there in official capacity.
You gotta go home. Yeah. I see. All right, no. Let's go to Dr. Ford. No, Doc, you've been paying special attention to this and to this test match. Your impressions of the first day?
Yeah, well, good night to the listeners and to the panel. Well, you know, it was a very even first day on a bowling friendly surface. I think I was heartened by the bowling of the West Indians, especially the bowling of the two youngsters, Shields and Lane. At least they weren't knocked around the park. We know that Roach and Seals were the bowl well. I guess the New Zealanders were very patient and very disciplined, because they left alone very well. And I think I'm not sure that we have that type of discipline to leave the balls that they left alone. But I like that everyone contributed, and that Chase was able to come in and contribute. And it does show that we have a little bit of depth in the bowling, even though the youngsters aren't the finished article. I was heartened, and it's good to see that Roach, who may have been written off by many, can still be useful, especially in these conditions. So I think we played a good game of test cricket. The match never got away from us yesterday, and we remained competitive. Of course, the whole match will depend on how we can bat, and that's our weakness. We'd have to be disciplined, and the ball's moving a lot. So I'll be listening to Carl Hooper and the other experts. Which stump do you bat on with all this movement, if you're left-handed or right-handed, and what's the best approach on in such bowler-friendly conditions? But so far we've been competitive, and I'm pleased with what the West Indians have been able to show so far.
Mm-hmm. I see, and of course, Basil, you've been paying keen interest in this match as well, Basil.
Yeah, I think I echo the sentiments of what Carl said. Had our bowlers been able to put the ball more in the right areas, I didn't think New Zealand would have got to 200. All in all, what we saw is what I expected. But, you know, a helpful pitch. I think most batters in the modern game struggle when the ball is moving. New Zealand just got some better batters, and they're more accustomed to those conditions, that they were able to weather the storm a bit. But overall, I think especially the young bowlers, Shields and Lane, what we saw from them is what I expected. And then they got the help of a helpful pitch to bowl on. I was a little disappointed with Seals in his opening spell, that he was a little wayward, not the normal Shields that, you know, is right on bang on the line of length. And I think maybe had he been the normal Seals early on, we would have made more inroads into the New Zealand's inning and maybe got them on the 200, as I said earlier.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, before we continue to do an assessment of the game, I'm going to come to Carl now, because Joe Garner is now the most honourable, and of course the Independence Honours yesterday at Kensington Oval, and of course you would want to congratulate him, Sir Carl.
Yes, of course. Congratulations. I wasn't aware of this. I'm now hearing about this. But congratulations to the bird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a man that's done a lot for not only West Indies cricket, but Barbados cricket, and is you know, it's a face that everybody recognizes around the world. So well done to him. You know, yeah, that's it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, and of course you know him very well.
Yeah, I do. Obviously, when my first tour I went on, Bird was there. I managed to play on one series with Bird in New Zealand.
Right.
He didn't manage me, but I've always seen his face around, you know, West Indies cricket for a long time. I mean, he's a face that you always see up to when I was in the Caribbean early this year.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the, there's a boot there where all the ex-cricketers go. You know, he was there, you know, we had a chat, you know. But look, like I said before, you know, he's done a lot for West Indies cricket, so it's well deserved.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, Brian, you would want to congratulate the big bird, Joe Garner, on his honour. Brian?
Yes, indeed. I have a proud photo taken with him when I was last in the Caribbean. In fact, the photo was taken of three of us. Joel was the tallest, apparently. The other two were myself and Mike Hessen, who's shorter than me, and he's the former coach of New Zealand. And Big Bird was, I think he probably had his elbows on at top of our head. We were there sort of being dwarfed by him. But it was always nice to be able to talk to him. He was such a pleasant man to talk to, and not that he's the only one. I mean, every time I've been over there, I've had a great time and been treated hospitably by the locals over there, and I wish him all the best and congratulate him on what he's been awarded.
Yeah, and of course, Garfield, you would want to offer your tributes as well. Big Bird? Garfield?
Oh, sorry, we just lost a wicket. That's
oh, no!
Yeah, Athanase just got bowled.
Oh, no, who bowled him?
Matt Henry. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's a blow we didn't need. But, on Bird, this shirt I'm wearing right now is compliments of the Bird.
Oh, really?
Every time the Bird came out here, we never failed to connect. A few bottles of Cockspur. yeah, Bird. I always link up with Bird when they came out here. He was out here a few years back, as chief selector.
Yes. Okay.
Now we caught up. So massive kudos and really well deserved. For the Bird, he's done a huge amount for West Indian cricket. Always there and a presence, always full of wisdom. Yes, so well deserved. Yeah. So, Bird, if you're listening, good job. Well done. Well done, old chap.
yeah, no doubt about that. And of course, I see Carl. You seem very, very keen. Are you watching the cricket there, Carl? And did you see
how Agnes got on? I've got it on in the background.
So
I'm a little bit behind. We don't Reds. You're spoiling my game. Don't say anything, right?
Yeah, we are delayed.
Because I've got a streamer that's a little bit behind time.
Yeah,
the ball or two behind.
Yeah, you're ahead of us, Garfield. After you said out, then I
yeah, but I got me now, looking. You
know? Oh dear. Oh,
yeah, man.
Andrew, he got dropped earlier too.
Oh, he got dropped earlier as well.
Yeah, he was dropped in a slip earlier.
But he started to push at the ball, and that was the downfall there.
But the other thing, Garfield, he looking to hit the ball through the offside. The ball is coming into him. Bat should be pointing straight or onside, man.
Mm.
He looking to cover drive.
Oh no! So we've lost two wickets. So we're gonna struggle. Struggle, gentlemen. I'm just going to go quickly to Trinidad and speak to Derek Murray because he wants to offer his congratulations in relation to Joel Garner. Of course, they would have played together, the most honourable. So it's quite fitting on the show that we give Joel his due. Hello, Derek. How are you?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for calling. Good evening to all your listeners, viewers, wherever they are. And first, congratulations to Barbados on their recent celebration of the 59th anniversary of independence. And I believe it's your fourth year as a republic.
Yes.
So congratulations and best wishes for future success for Barbados. And of course, I also have to add congratulations to Well, I can't call him Big Bird anymore. I have to call him at least the most honorable Big Bird. But the most honorable.
I like that one. The most honorable Big Bird. That's a nice one.
Most honorable. No, seriously.
Yes.
Real congratulations to Joel. I think anyone getting your nation's highest award is deserving of the highest praise, and Joel has certainly earned the kudos on the field, and congratulations to him.
Mm-hmm. And when did you first meet Joel?
I think it would have been the mid-70s. You know, he would have been just coming into the Barbados team, and I know he certainly played in the West Indies team in 1977, I believe, was his debut against Pakistan. So, you know, and in those days, you noticed these players probably a year before they got into Test cricket. He was always looked on as someone who was going to be special. And again, he had the attribute of great height, made it a little more difficult than facing the average height, 6'3", 6'4", fast bowlers. So, and he made use of it. I remember his speciality was the Yorker, and, you know, a bowler being able to bowl Yorkers at will almost, and also have enough pace to have some frightening bouncers, you know, made him a really difficult proposition for, I could say safely, opposing batsmen.
Mm-hmm. Any fond memories of the Bird?
Well, again, I mean, his personality was such that he was always in the center of any kind of conversations and so around the dressing room. A good team man, good spirit, and yeah, I mean, he was great character to have around, and really a good team man, and an ideal foil as he established himself and our bowlers established themselves, that, you know, he was seen initially as the backup for Andy Roberts and Michael Holding, and then also Colin Croft when he went for the four fast bowlers option. And it was a really frightening prospect. And he was happy to do his job in the early days, backing up the senior bowlers and, you know, really making it a really lethal bowling attack. So he did that, and he did it very well, and with also a great sense of humor at times, although the opposing batsmen might not have thought so. Mm-hmm. But he was a really good team man.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Andrew, it's really great when a cricketer gets an honor like that, because it's also a tribute to cricket. It's the high esteem that cricket has been held in throughout the years. And so, you know, it's not just the central bankers and the high-level King's Councils and so doctors who may get these awards.
Yeah, but the cricket
a great cricket, and congratulations to Joel.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just before you go, the West Indies doing battle with New Zealand. Good first day, but they've lost a couple of early wickets.
Too high. We got a review going on.
Oh.
They look too high.
Mm-hmm. Between bat and ball, can we go to ball batting ready?
It looks well high.
Yes. Just having a little bit of a challenge there, Garfield. Garfield, we're just wrapping up with Derek. No, yes, Derek. Your quick words before you go.
No. It's really interesting. You know, despite the travails of West Indies cricket at the moment, we all support. We all want them to do well. We know that they're the underdogs whenever they play, wherever they play. But it's us. It's our team. We need to see them do well. And I can't wait for a turnaround to come at some time, but it has to come at the highest level first before we get down into being able to dissect the team and team selection. And so, you know, I am that the administration needs to be revamped totally before anything serious happens to improve our cricket.
I see. And just quickly, finally, before you go, you want to congratulate Dr. Shalu, your good friend. He's now MP there in St. Vincent and possibly become a minister.
Well, good luck to him. I mean, there's a lot of change going on around the Caribbean in terms of the political landscape. And, you know, again, from not just the cricket, but everything, our economies, our infrastructures, our governance structures, at all levels, need to be strengthened, and we look forward to the new blood coming in and making a difference. So, yep, congratulations to him and good luck. But again, you know, I think we need to keep that separate from the cricket governance as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that he should remain if he becomes a minister, president of Cricket West Indies?
Well, again, I have not seen that has happened in the past, and I think for good reason. So we wait and see what has happened. And maybe, mm-hmm. who knows, a change like that can help to be the catalyst for change in the structure and formation of the West Indies Cricket Administration. And, you know, that may also be a good thing. So both Dr. Shalu and his government, you know, wish success, and maybe we also have to wish success to the cricket administration as well.
All right. Well, thanks to you, Derek Murray, Ambassador Derek Murray, for coming and speaking to some amazing guests. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you. I hope the West Indies team in New Zealand give me something to enjoy. Otherwise, I'll go to bed very unhappy.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, let's hope that they can certainly turn things around. No question about that. All right. We're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, of course, we're going to continue our discussion. I see Carol is glued to his TV there. We've lost 2 wickets already, and it looks as if it could be a very serious struggle as far as West Indies is concerned. All right, Mason and guests, brought in association with the good friends at ASA Field, white rum, the best shot of the day.
ASA Field, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. Just sing this song, tell me bartender, ASA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, so Campbell caught young ball folks at one. Chanderpaul is there. He's got 4 from 33 balls. Atanase bowl by Henry for 4. Sheope has come to the crease now, bat at number 4, and is now 12 for 2. Carl, do you think that's the position that Sheope should bat at 4? You like him batting at 4, Carl?
Yeah, I like him. I like him at 4. I was happy to see Imlach finally get a chance with the glove and just to free up Shea at 4. You know, I mean, obviously, it's a critical position, batting at 4.
Mm-hmm.
And we want him to set the tone for us because he's obviously the best player in the side. So I think it was a good move and hopefully it works out. But we got to be patient with it. You know, it's not going to be easy. And he'll be targeted because we all know, and the opposition will know too. He's the linchpin in this side. So if they get him out, you know, you're well amongst them. You know, and having said that, And this is why when the last time I was on the show, Andrew, I was pushing for Jason to be a part of this side. I look at our batting lineup.
Right.
And boy, that tail is long.
Very long.
You know, after Imlat, you got Roach.
Yes.
Lane, Shields, and who else? It's a long tail, man.
Seals.
You know, and we have
and Seals, yeah. They know
so one. You put a Jason Hole inside, and I know you're not a big fan of Jason, but you put a Jason Hole inside, they're coming at eight. Somebody with an established test record batting at eight, it looks a little bit better. And I think also yesterday, Jason is one of probably the most accurate seam bowlers that we got. He would have enjoyed those conditions.
Yes.
So I think, you know, I just think that we're missing something here. And not only that, I looked at Shields and I looked at Lane. And again, you can see that they're young and there's something there to work with. But are they ready for test cricket just yet? In my opinion, no.
I see.
You know, I would have liked to see maybe one of them play yesterday with a Jason Holder, Kimar Roach, and Seals.
But not both.
I think it would have. Not both, no. Because the boat can't bat either.
No, you're right.
It is long, man.
That's true. Okay, just hold on. We're going to come to Dr. Ford in a minute. But let's quickly go to St. Vincent, because I understand that Dr. Kishore Shallow has gotten a very important ministry. So on the line there, I know that there's the big ceremony at the Arnestville playing field is Frank Clark, the sports administrator. Hello, Frank, can you hear me?
Hey, good evening, Andrew. I'm hearing you loud and clear.
All right. Can you tell us the position that Dr. Shallow got in the cabinet?
Yes, Dr. Shallow has been appointed the Minister of Tourism and Maritime Affairs.
Oh.
And, Minister of Tourism and Maritime Affairs, and his colleague in the Cricket Association, which is Kishaka Cupid. He's the Minister of Sports. Because he's the first vice president in the local cricket association currently, and contemporary of Shallow. So he got the sports ministry along with youth affairs, the usual suspect, sports and youth affairs.
I see. So Dr. Shallow is now the new Minister of Tourism and Maritime Affairs. Are you surprised by that? By that ministry?
Yes, because early in the week, word went out that he was going to be minister without any portfolio so that he can have space to run Cricket West Indies.
Oh.
Because people in St. Vincent and the Grenadines are very disappointed with our CARICOM brothers who are saying that Dr. Shallow should give up one. Yeah, it's unrealistic to give up the new political office. And they're basically telling him to give up cricket. But he just got the job this year. And he at least he should do his first 3 year term in cricket because he has done a lot for cricket, especially in the boardroom with regards to finance and that type of thing. And it's just now for us to get the players to perform. Mm. And, yeah, I know we have this colonial thing. If the players don't perform, you fire the coach because we don't fire the players.
Mm.
We need to, as a... What's her name? The president, the Prime Minister Barbados said, we have to craft our own things. We have to, you know, conurbate and start trying to do things without doing it in the old-fashioned British or colonial way.
Frank, you said that people there in St. Vincent are disappointed that people in the Caribbean are saying that Dr. Shallow should give up the post of president. Is that what you just said?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
You know, Vincentians are 110% behind Shallow because, you know, it was a big thing when he got the job.
Yes.
Vincentians were crying to see a guy from the small islands. Well, we had Julian Hunter, but they just thought, and Ricky Skerritt up in the
city.
But we just thought that, we have. And they saw him grow up. We saw him grow up. He's just 41 years of age.
Mm.
He has a family and three young children. And his wife is a lawyer in Barbados. She works in Barbados. Vincentian Stockford, she works in Barbados.
yeah,
under the tutelage. There's a connection in St. Vincent and Barbados with regard to the planter class, and she was able to get good. She was a good apprentice to one of those law firms.
So Frank, you're saying that there's no conflict. Shallow being Minister of Tourism and Maritime Affairs and President of Cricket West Indies. You're saying that there's no conflict. Is that what you're saying?
No, I won't say there's no conflict, but I don't want to, you know, envelope myself into this thing about conflict and no conflict.
Okay.
Conflict is a red herring.
Oh.
Because once you say, yes, there's a conflict, then from a philosophical standpoint, or as you say, Venn diagram, you're going to have to prove otherwise.
Mm.
We see these two things as two tasks that the young man has shown potential being able to do. He just didn't start to be president of Cricket West Indies. You know, he started to be president of the local association
right.
in 2016.
Mm.
He worked his way up, convinced the guys at Winged Island Board, and, you know, he gave it up after the two terms because his goal was to get to reshape West Indies cricket. The first thing he has done is to stabilize the finances.
Mm.
And but people, I mean, you know, people. We have to.
Are you sure? Are you sure about that though? Because the board is in serious debt.
Yeah, relatively speaking, the board is in a better position today.
Mm.
So much so that we're able to make the traveling conditions for our females relatively better than what they were, accommodation-wise and those kind of things.
Mm.
You know, look at the report. It's all in the report.
Right.
But there's a mindset that he should not be able to do both things because our former Prime Minister, Gonzalez, who supported him, you know, in fact, it was Gonzalez who was able to get the Prime Minister of Barbados and the President of Guyana to use all the persuasions, all the moral persuasion, so that unanimously. The vice president was elected unanimously.
Yeah, he was. Frank.
So we are at home in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. We are comfortable with Shallow being able to do both jobs because he's a young man. He has a lot of sprint in him, and he knows cricket because he played it.
Oh,
he even played it in England when he was studying for those club teams.
All right.
So I would just like to sensitize folks on your program to understand that it's not this singular opinion about Shallow is conflicted and he should not be allowed to do both jobs.
Mm.
Julian Hunt did a similar thing, cricket and politics, even not to the extent as Shallow and the Sri Lankan and the Pakistani.
Yeah, but Frank, but due respect, that doesn't make it right.
Let us not hook ourselves into right and wrong.
Okay.
Let us, you know, I would accept your opinion, you know, but that doesn't say I have to agree with it. You know,
I agree.
Respect goes wrong.
Yes.
And, you know, we as mature Caribbean people, we have to craft what we want in this Caribbean space. I mean, people were killing Gonzalez putting his mouth in Trinidad's business. But you know why? Because the small islands, we call them the OECS, we know the Leeward Islands, we were getting cheaper oil, energy products because of the Venezuelan situation. Trinidad, if you go into all of those things, you would see we Caribbean people, and nobody is more a proponent of Caribbean unity than the late Grantley Adams and Tom Adams, all of those Bajan politicians, they're
right,
always signing.
Absolutely.
Who signed the treaty? Who signed the Federation? Who signed the Treaty of Chagaramas?
Yes.
Who is always there? You know, for the Big Island, not the Big Island, but for the MDCs, the more developed countries, it's Barbados always leading the way.
Mm.
So I'm surprised. Yes, Barbados is Barbados who has been pushing the recent thing, the revised treaty at Basseterre.
Right.
And she said so. Okay.
Well, Frank, I've got to leave it there. So thanks for your help in terms of getting that information. Dr. Shallow is now the Minister of Tourism and Maritime Affairs. I'll give you a call a little bit later on.
Yeah.
All the best to you, Frank.
Yeah. But let me reiterate this point. Vincentians and Winged Island people. And Kitchen people, they figure that Salah should be given the opportunity to at least resign on his own accord and don't be pushed out by our own people for various reasons.
All right.
Thanks for putting me in the program.
All right. Thanks very much indeed. So there's Frank Clark, the sports administrator, just informing us that Dr. Kishore Shallow, there's a big ceremony going on at Arnesville. He is now the new Minister of Tourism and Maritime Affairs. So congratulations, Dr. Shallow. We're going to pause for business calls now, and then we come back. We, of course, we're going to continue our discussion. I thought it was important that we got that one in relation to Dr. Kishore Shallow, the question being asked, should he remain as president of Cricket West Indies? Mason and guests, Brown in association with our good friends at ESA Fuel at Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA Fuel, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy! Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, immediate reaction. What rubbish am I hearing about the president stabilizing CWA finances? That is not what the CEO has been saying for the last couple of months. It seems that Mr. Clark is now the new off spinner in West Indies cricket. Well, we're going to need some stability in terms of the batting there, because we're now 12 for 2 and Doc Ford, we're struggling. Not hearing you, Doc.
Can begin. I think yesterday we looked at how Latham batted, and maybe some may not have understood what he was doing. He was making the ball older. He was digging in. He was allowing Williamson to do most of the scoring, and they had a very fruitful partnership. So, I mean, you can only make runs if you're in the middle. So I hope that the guys will realize that. I've already seen Pope, you know, played a few balls and admonish himself afterwards about not leaving them and letting them go outside the off stump. So it's going to be about discipline and the steely resolve, and really waiting until the ball comes into your area and scoring off of the balls you can. We're not getting anything to drive, unfortunately, so I guess we have to wait our turn and be patient and just stay there, be disciplined.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 4341790 is the call number. Ken Husbands has just come in to the seat. There's no fellow Wallace tonight. He's got a big function. Ken is in green tonight. That's the color of the JLP in Jamaica. Ken, you're all over the place, really. Hello, Ken. Nice to see you. Are you okay?
Oh, it's good to see you, too. It's good to see you, too.
Oh.
Can I give you half 30 seconds, please?
Yes, sure.
I'm thinking that if our good friend, Dr. Crystal,
yes,
if he got a ministry,
yes,
and he maintained his position as head of cricket,
yeah,
he probably will have more authority, more autonomy to help cricket.
Okay. That's an interesting one.
You know, the minister says that he wants to do so and so. Who's yep. going to question him?
Okay. Yeah. He's got lots of power.
Exactly.
Lots of power. maybe I should ask our good friend Basil. Basil, you think that Dr. Shallow, being now a minister, tourism and maritime affairs, should he remain president of Cricket West Indies? Basil?
No, Andrew, you have the president of the chairman of PCB, Pakistan Cricket Board, who is a minister in the Pakistan government. However, the West Indies is not Pakistan.
Right.
The West Indies cricket is made up of 14 independent nation states. Insularity is a serious issue within our cricket. It is not a good look to have somebody who is a member of the government, of an independent nation state government, to be the head of the West Indies. I think you would only the perspective about insularity would even go higher, and I don't think that guy Frank was sensitive to that at all. Mr. Shallow has been accused of his insularity already, as you know. And therefore, now as a member of government, that perception could could very well grow, and I don't think it's a good thing for our cricket.
Mm.
That's all.
Carl, as a cricketer, would you want your president of CWI to be a minister in the government in some country in the Caribbean? Carl?
I don't know. I'd like to separate it too. I want somebody who's at the helm of West Indies cricket to be totally focused on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Dr. Kishore Shalu can juggle the two, I don't know. But right now, we need somebody that can be totally focused solely on West Indies cricket.
Mm. I see. I don't know. Garfield, have you got a view on that? Do you think Dr. Shalu should remain as a president? I mean, he's got a big job there. No, tourism is a big ministry.
Well, yeah, I'm a bit like Carl. I don't know one way or the other. I just want somebody there who could be impartial, as Butch said, remove the insularity, and do the job, give the job the attention that it needs. I got a bit worried when Frank or whatever his name was said we don't need to get into right and wrong. I know, sorry, I'm a very simple man, but for me, everything is right or wrong.
Yeah, so. I agree. Yes, I was a bit worried, but yeah, good old Frankie mm-hmm. said that. Yeah, indeed. I don't know if Dr. Ford has got a view on it, Doc. I mean, the reality is, he is the tourism and minister of maritime affairs. I mean, what's your view, Doc, on this?
You know, it comes down to the priorities of Dr. Shalu. I mean, we have to congratulate him for being successful in his political quest and also being given high office nationally. But, you know, he'll have to be extremely organized and manage his time incredibly well. And it's a prioritization of his ministry and the economy of his nation state versus a regional concern. And, you know, we always want the separation of sport and politics, ideally, and from the position that we don't want politics to influence sport. We could say that one of many islands, you know, being involved in that political sphere may not affect us regionally. But the only way it's going to work is he's going to have to delegate, and you know, he won't be able to travel on cricketing business. He won't be able to go to many meetings and travel around as he would have before just following cricket. So, you know, it depends on how he wants to run the office. Will he be just someone who delegates, or will he think that he can still get stuff done? If he can put people in place to run it efficiently, it can work. But he certainly won't be able to put in as much time and effort into the job as he would have before he has this new
resign,
new thing. It's going to be challenging.
I got a question for you before I get to Brandon. I don't know if this has ever happened in New Zealand. Is there any conflict of interest, Doc, in this? Is there any conflict? Can you see any? Because that has been
There wouldn't be a conflict as far as decision making and otherwise, unless it relates to things related to giving his country some sort of bias or you know, making them open to more benefits. That would be the only potential conflict that would come in here. But I believe the time is just time. The only 24 hours in a day.
Yes.
Running a ministry is a full time job, and you know, If your country's well-being is important to you, then you know, you will have difficulties you know, doing the two things just from a time perspective and being able to be fully immersed in both.
So Doc, are you recommending that Shalu should give up the post of president?
You are suggesting that's what I'm saying as a summary, but
No. But Doc, I've heard you.
Well, let me.
But hold on, Doc. But I listened to you carefully. I've listened to you, Doc.
Well, I'm asking. No.
You say no.
So you can let me.
Okay, continue.
I am articulate enough to put my position forward. But what I'm saying is that he can only continue as
effectively as president of Cricket West Indies, once he delegates and gets people to do a lot of the functions, which he did, the physical functions and some of the administrative functions, because he's just going to be busy.
I agree with that. Has that ever happened in New Zealand cricket, Brian, where, you know, you have a president, then he runs for office, he's an MP, and now he becomes a minister? Has that ever happened in New Zealand?
Look, I'm sure it's been considered, but to my mind, we want to keep sport as far away from politics as we possibly can. I don't know how it works in the Caribbean, but I see it immediately as a conflict of interest because, you know, what do you do when you're faced with a decision? Do you do the political or you do the sport? And we have enough problems with our politicians in New Zealand. We have enough problems with politics, and that's sporting politics, in the running of our various codes. And in cricket at the moment, we're having an issue that is outside of politics, but is basically, you know, players versus administrators over what we're going to do with our T20 competition. To my mind, I'd set fire to the T20 competition and concentrate on getting Test match cricket back into order. But then I'm a little bit old-fashioned when it comes to things like T20 and ODIs. I'm a little more favoured by. But to me, it's something that you really need to keep divorced. 23 for two here at the moment. And Chanderpaul has just been put down.
He's just been put down.
Chances.
Yes.
Oh, okay, but
you are his son is not catching well at all today.
Oh my golly! 44-1-7-90. The lines are open. Let's try and take some calls. We can. Hello, welcome, Mr. Sitting Guest.
Hello, welcome.
Yeah, hello, welcome.
Yes, my name is Mike King. I know you've heard our name before.
Oh, Michael King, how are you doing, man? 23 for two. The West Indies are in trouble, you think?
Yeah, I would tend to think so.
Do you expect them to win the test match, Michael?
Not really. No. But don't forget, we are not one of the strong teams in world cricket. We are lightweight in world cricket. And I think the match will probably go 4 days with New Zealand winning.
Oh.
As a West Indian, my heart, of course, is with the West Indies. And I would want the West Indies to do well. But that's only a wish.
I see. Yeah, I think we will struggle. I mean, you got Hope at the crease now, Chanderpaul. 6 runs from 50 balls, Hope. 9 from 17. And Carl Hope is saying that the West Indies' tail is long, and I agree with him.
It is very long, Andrew. In fact, between me and this, I told you yesterday, I would have played Bat Hodge at 6. With Justin Grizz at 7 and Imlach at 8, I would have only played, I would have had Justin Grizz as the fourth seamer. Either one of OJ Shields or young Johan Lin, I wouldn't have played.
Okay. But in fact, that's a point supported by Carl. Carl, you got some support here. You would not have played both of them. Is that what you said earlier, Carl?
No, not both. I think just choose one.
Yes.
I like the looks of the first time I saw Shields.
Yes.
He's from Jamaica, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The first time he looked strong. But he looks like he can bowl quick. But obviously needs some work. So let's hope that's given and he can come through. You know, Andrew, when I look at I'm just going off here a little bit, but when
sure.
I look at South Africa just went to India and won 2-0 comfortably. We just stored India, right? We lost 2-0 in the Test series. I don't think, when I look around at world teams today, right? Apart from Australia, I think is good, but apart from Australia, I think you can take any team, you know. I reckon any team is there for the taking, because when you look at the South African side, I mean, he didn't play none of the 2 test matches.
No.
You know, Stephen Harmer's an off-spin. He got 6 foot.
Yes.
I mean, who are the big name players in South African side?
None.
And they managed to go down to India, in India backyard, and beat them 2-0. So, you know, I'm just trying to make a point that I reckon when I even when I look at the New Zealand side, I mean, obviously, Kane Williamson is world class. But I watched them batting yesterday, and they also got a lot of technical deficiencies. You can see it.
Uh-huh.
So I reckon, you know, if we can look, we obviously got a, our biggest problem is scoring runs. If we can score, you know, 500 runs in a test match, whether we get, you know, find some way to get 500 runs in a test match, I reckon we got a very good chance of beating a lot of teams.
Mm.
A lot of teams. It's just a, look, we're missing some bowlers. We're missing, obviously, Alzari, Shamar. You know, we got good bowlers. We just need to focus on getting some batters.
Mm.
And that's the thing, I suppose, you know, I don't want to go back to Andre Cooley, but at least then we had some fellas, you know, I think he was creating the right environment where you had young players trying to put some runs together. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kavi Maad scored 100 in England.
Yes. Hasn't played since.
You see what I'm saying to you? And it takes time. We've got to be patient rather than doing all these damn wholesale changes because, you know, we rank 10 now in the 10th in the world or whatever. But
yeah,
things can change very, very quickly. A lot of these teams are there for the taking. I'm telling you.
Mm.
A lot of these teams that I'm watching at are there for the taking.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Carl. The batting around the world is not that good at all. As soon that's what I said earlier. As soon as the ball moves around, any team in the world are in trouble. You know? And yeah, I watched New Zealand bat yesterday. I thought of the first 5 wickets, 3 of them, they just gave their hands away to poor technique. The captain just standing in the crease and fishing outside the off stump, not getting close to the ball. And this is a pitch that's moving around. Same thing with the other opener, and the guy Will Young.
Yes,
he was in 2 minds. A ball that he should have left. He was, what should I play? Should I leave? Just standing there. Left his bat in the way and got caught.
Yep, absolutely. 44 and 790, Mike. In terms of Joe Garner, I'm sure you're quite happy. The most honourable Joe Garner.
Well, I can tell you that I did call for people like Joe Garner, the netballer Amara Sidi, Wendy Allen. These are people I called for several years ago, and I'm elated that these people have been recognised. Although I will say, though, Andrew, long overdue in a lot of cases. One of the problems I've got in this country is that we wait too late to recognize our heroes. Marvin Seeley, 76. You know, we wait so late. Joe Garner stopped playing test cricket in 1987. Joe Garner should have gotten a national honor 30 years ago.
What? 30?
30 years ago, he finished grade 1987.
Oh.
Joe Garner, 73 this month. You were waiting for the 90 degree. Joe Garner's a national honor. This man is one of the greatest fast bowlers not only the West Indies has produced, but the world has produced. Joe Garner averages 19 overseas. 19! But that's phenomenal. Joe Garner has 136 wickets overseas at 19.74. This man is a great. A former Barbados captain, a former BCA president. No, I think he's gotten a bad way. I'm very happy for him, but it should have happened 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, Basil, you're making a point?
I was making a point. I agree, Mr. King. My dad got a national award, and he retired in 1969, the very first year of our independence, of our republic in 1970. He got a national award. I mean, Clive Lloyd got a national award in the 70s. Lance Gibbs, Rohan Kanai, all of them in the 70s. So I'm very surprised that Barbados waiting how many years after Garner retired. And Gibbs and Kanai were still playing for the West Indies when they received national awards. So
that's very good on Garner, but it doesn't happen so in Barbados. Andrew, we gave bodybuilding legend Earl Miller the national award after he was 80. I mean, you can't. I mean, no, man, it's not good, man.
I suppose someone will say better late than never.
But where are we going? Where are we going to give David Ellis and Andy Thornhill? I mean, we can't wait till these guys get the 80 and give them.
Some good strong points you're making, Michael.
But I think you agree with me that Ellis should get a national honor.
Oh, without hesitation.
Andy Thornhill.
Yes, good man. Good people. Andy Thornhill for sure, yes.
Andrew Mason.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with that. I don't have an issue with Andrew Mason getting a national award. Andrew Mason can't even get a Regatta award.
Oh, absolutely. I love that. Hey.
Unbelievable.
Yes, yes. And Dr. Ford, your good friend, is shaking his head. Say hello to Dr. Ford, Michael.
Hello, young Doc Ford. Really, he's a young man to me. You know, I'm 64.
Make your bodybuilding writing, though.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, right.
Not much to read in the paper now.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I've been having some health challenges. So I'm very, very quiet in retirement. Mm. Retirement, I've got to say, this has not been kind to me. Mm. It hasn't been kind. So I've been under the radar and keeping very, very
quiet. How are you feeling, though, Mike? You feeling okay, though?
Well, I'm feeling all right. You know, you've got to hang in there. But, you know, it is said that the good die young. Mm. So, you know, king could go anytime.
Say hello to Sir Carl. You remember Sir Carl, King?
Well, Carl knows. Maybe sees me. I know Carl well.
Mike King.
Carl knows me quite well. I've done several interviews with Carl.
That's your boy.
Carl, I know your concern with this. I know your concern with the state of war cricket. Young OJ Shields is playing test cricket without a 5-wicket haul in first class cricket.
Ooh.
I mean, this man is averaging 37 in first class cricket.
Mm.
Doesn't have a 5-wicket haul, but he's Randy Marunkia. I can't believe it.
Oh my golly. Carl, you want to respond to that?
I mean, that's where we're at.
Yes, that's where we're at. Yeah,
He's undercooked. That's where we're at. You can see
he's undercooked.
There's something there. You know, I mean, what can you do? You know, we've got some injuries.
Yes.
And he's been given an opportunity.
Yes.
I think Darren Sammy has, he's made a punt, a call.
Yes.
He likes what he sees, and he said, you know, I'll give him a crack.
Yeah.
Johan Lane is the same, too. You can see that there's something there to work with, but it's just not quite ready.
Yes.
I'd love to see the two of them. If we think that they've got some potential in there, the future, you know, we got to have a vibrant A-team system, man, where we play a lot of A-team cricket.
Yes.
Put them inside there and get them there for a couple of years.
Yeah, I agree.
I know that Mike is a big Australia fan. So
yes.
Since he is
no,
so scared,
I am a South African. So
I can't
get
let
it right.
Him leave
South Africa, South Africa.
A little opinion about the Ashes.
Yes, yes.
Gone so far.
Michael, before you go, the Ashes so far, what happened there?
Well, riveting. We had a tremendous opening test at Perth. I'm going to say this, because I'm not backing either the two teams. I'm a South African now.
Yes.
But, the series is not over. The series is not over. I think the Gabba is going to be the biggest test in the series. If England loses at the Gabba, they go to nothing down, and then the series is over. But this match is going to be, this pink ball test is going to be big, and this will play a very, very big part in determining the series. Australia have got a great record in pink ball cricket. In 14 pink ball matches, they've won 13.
Mm.
The only one they've lost, they lost it to Shamar Joseph. So they've only got one loss in pink ball cricket. They are world starters favorites, but don't rule out England and a man called Ben Stokes.
Mm. How do you rate Ben Stokes as an all-rounder?
He's the best all-rounder in the world. He rates 7,000 runs, 200 wickets, 100 catches. He's a top man.
Mm.
Among English all-rounders, only Beefy Boredom is better. He's a top man. Mm. No, but Stokes can't play cricket. There's no question at all about that. I think the boy Harry Brook, I'm not a big Brook man, but Brook potentially has got the potential to be the best batsman in the game.
Mm.
Brook can bat. Oh, as I saw some of the shots are audacious. Brooks' problem, Brooks does not respect the game. Brooks feels that he can just bash people bowling. He doesn't want a billion innings. But I think Brooks' problem is really upstairs, mental. But if Brooks buckles down, Brooks is a top man. There's a question with that. You don't have 1031 tests and not be a good player. That's 100 every three matches. He can bat, but he's got to sell in.
But
your
Michael,
good friend Joe Root.
Yeah, Joe Root.
Give us 100 in Australia.
What happened to him, though, Michael? Joe Root?
Well, you know, I heard the English people say that he's England's greatest batsman ever. I question that. You can't be England's greatest batsman and don't have a test 100 down under. I question that. That's a massive asterisk. he's got to tick that box. You can't be England's greatest batsman when the other greats have done it. Jack Hobbs has got 900s in Australia. Hammond has got doubles in Australia. How can he be England's greatest batsman? He got to make 100 in Australia. He's a great player, but I am not giving him the all-time great among English batsmen. Got to make 100 up there.
Garfield, have you been following the Ashes? Garfield?
Only score-wise. I haven't really... No, I'll be following it avidly. Just checking the scores. I wanna say the series will be close, but I think Australia will run away with it. I don't know. Rate Stokes definitely as a top man. But they're going to have to put together complete performances, I think. And this way they want to advance games, I think they're going to have to pull their heads in a little bit and get back to playing some more sensible, positive, traditional test match cricket.
I see.
Because if they look to attack the Australian bowlers like that, I think they're not going to do it for too long.
No. Carl, have you been following the series closely, the Ashes? What a blow as far as England concerned, first test.
I'm looking forward to the second one starting on Thursday. I mean, I think a lot of people are forgetting that at lunch on the second day, Australia were what? England were what? 90 out or 100 in front, 1 week
down. Yeah, 100 in front. Yeah, 1 week down.
Right, and then just a dramatic collapse. I think the series is still wide open.
Oh,
because I reckon the Australian attack is good. I mean, you know, if Cummins comes back and plays the second test match, we don't know yet. Hazelwood is still out. So if they get the two of them back, that's a serious attack. England also got a good attack.
Yes.
You know, and then, you know, you look at the Australian batting. I mean, in the first innings, I saw Archer and Wood and the other boy, Cars. I mean, they bowled well.
Yes.
And Australia didn't look good at all.
No.
I think Australia is beatable.
I think in the second innings, Head obviously took it away from them, but then they're bowling the ball halfway down the pitch.
Yes, yes. Couldn't understand that ploy at all.
Halfway down the pitch. I saw some fields. I mean, England are playing some... The sort of cricket that they're playing, I mean, I know people saying it's the conventional way, you know, people are now, the game has moved on and so on, but you've seen some fields. I mean, bowl the ball in the top off stump and have your traditional couple of skips catching your third man, you know, and just be patient. You know, but if you're bowling halfway down the wicket to Head and these fellas, I mean, you're asking for it. But England England threw the game away.
I agree with Carl.
In the second day, from the position that they were in, Australia should have been chasing 350 plus.
You agree with that, Michael?
Yeah, in fact, what I would want to say before I run off to is this Australian side, you know, it's an Asian side. You know, of 10 of the team is 31 and over. The only man in the side that is under 31 is Cameron Green. It's an old team. Kawaj is 38. Netherland is 38. Stark is going to be 36 in January. It's an old side, and the batting is dodgy. Labuschagne can't get the ball off the square. So it's a beatable side.
You think so?
The series is not over. I think Austria will probably win the series.
They can get a
but the series is not over.
Kawaja's not playing.
He's not playing. But he's been struggling,
He's not playing. he got a back. His back is not recovered, so he's out for the second test.
Yeah, he's out.
But I think his career may be up to as well too, because he's been struggling and he's 39 this month.
Michael, just before you go, though, India struggling. I mean, look what happened against South Africa. What happened there?
Well, South Africa. You've got to give South Africa credit, though. For South Africa to go to India and beat India without a world-class player. South Africa does not have a world-class player. The only South African who's world-class, Cajizo Rabada, didn't play either test match. So that's a magnificent achievement from a side that does not have a man averaging 40 with the bat. Tremendous performance. Mm-hmm. I was stunned. I'm the biggest South African supporter probably in the Western Hemisphere. I'm still stunned. Mm. Big win. All credit will go to South Africa and playing tremendous cricket. You know, people say that when they won the World Championship last year, it was a fluke. Well, apparently it's not a fluke. They're playing absolutely outstanding cricket. But India, a little overrated. The batting is dodgy.
India the overrated?
Batting, the batting is dodgy.
Oh, the batting is dodgy. Why is
that? They don't have that quality.
Can I add this too? South Africa's previous series was in Pakistan. So it's conditions somewhat similar to what they would see in India.
Yes.
India's team went to Australia. A lot of those guys played in that ODI and then come back to play test cricket, right? So those guys are not weren't even in the frame of mind to play test cricket. Then there's another problem with Indian players. Lots of them don't play first-class cricket. They don't play much first-class cricket. You can't cheat the game. It's going to finally catch up with you. So you heard a lot of some of the same themes that we talk about in terms of our players not playing enough first-class cricket and so on. You heard the Indians talking about the same thing in terms of their players. And this is interesting. This is the only country in the world where their players don't go around the world to play in domestic leagues, and they're having this issue.
Very, very good point. And disappointing for India, too. India are getting beat in India.
Yes.
The last seven test matches they played, they've lost for you. The only body that India has beaten has been the West Indies. Of course, everybody beats the West Indies.
So, Michael, do you expect the West Indies to beat New Zealand, the three test matches?
Well, they haven't done so in 30 years. The last time the West Indies beat New Zealand in New Zealand, Sherwin Campbell and Keith Adderton and Junior Murray were playing test cricket. So you know how long ago it is. Junior Murray was playing test cricket. He was in that side that won at the Wellington Basin Reserve in 1995. That's the last time we beat New Zealand in New Zealand. So it's a long time ago. No, I don't think we will win. All players are not technically equipped to handle the swinging ball in New Zealand. We don't have that quality. And then the one player who is halfway decent, Hodge, you're not playing him. I don't know who Hodge has offended, but Hodge should be playing.
I would think so, yeah.
You've got to play Hodge.
What about Shea Hope in test cricket?
Well, a failure in test cricket. A top man in one day cricket, but he's averaging 25. You know, I brought home my school report, I was getting 25 at school. You know, my mother was very upset. You can't be a good player and averaging 25. No, he's not a test batsman. He's a one-day man. Two different formats altogether.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh, all right.
So you can't argue against stats.
Shea Hope is not a test batsman.
You can't argue against stats. He's averaging 25.
That's a long time ago, Luby.
But I understand. But it's only because I think the diet and the way things are structured and where these guys tend to follow the money. And if you settle yourself in as a test player, you're missing out on dollar.
Shea was mismanaged, basically. Shea shouldn't have opened. Shouldn't have been a number three.
Yeah.
If England can persist with Crawley and even get Crawley past 30, I think if his one day, you can't average over 50 when even some of the greats that we revere can't get to 50. The guy can bat, but it's just a few little technical things. He gets pushed on the back foot too much in test cricket. And
he doesn't play the short ball either.
And then that's the sucker ball. So
I'm just watching him bat here now.
Yes.
And he looks as though he wants to get on top, but he's getting very antsy for the last sort of 5-6 overs. He's been looking to, I guess, counterattack. But okay.
Bill Walker is a good-looking player. There's a difference between a good-looking player and a good player. He's a good-looking player.
Mm. But he's technically, I mean, Carl said so earlier, he reckons he's the best batsman, and I agree.
Mm. Yeah, but runs, but cricket is runs. You've got to make runs.
But that doesn't say much, Cakes. All of them is 25 average batters too.
Mm. But that's why we're number 10.
I'm not saying that he's. I think he definitely underperforms, but technically and he has the ability. We all know that. So because he's done it before, but it's just a matter of knuckling in and applying yourself in test cricket.
The guys are doing really well.
We got Tej is playing the line and not following the ball, so when it moves, he's just missing it, which is absolutely what we need to happen. Latham did that for New Zealand. He was good at doing that. And she is looking to be a bit more aggressive and advance the game. So I think we got a little bit of a solidification going on here, which looks as though it bodes well.
Okay.
All right, but long may it continue. And then, Andrew, can I just say, I think, can I?
Sure.
I just say that, and Carl will join me in here, that just want to pay homage to our GCC captain, Gary Nascimento, who passed away just recently. Just want to say condolences to the family.
Okay.
What a top man he was. And he was quite influential in both myself and Carl's early career. So, yeah. So, all the best to the family and loved ones.
Carl, you would want to offer to
I was waiting for the opportune time to mention it maybe towards the back end of the show, but
sure.
You know, Garfield will know that you know, back in the day, you know, Nasir was very instrumental in certainly my development as a cricketer at GCC. He was the club captain, and spent a lot of time with Gary, you know, got to know his family well. You know, his kids, Sivan and Shane. So my condolences to, you know, to his wife, the kids. It's obviously tough. We seem to be losing, I don't know, maybe it's a case we're getting older, but lately we seem to be losing a lot of people. I had another good friend of mine that passed away a few months ago, Nigel Harper. I don't know, Garfield, if you can remember Nigel Harper.
Yeah, I remember Harps.
I mean, I spent a lot of time, obviously, again, playing a lot of cricket with Nigel Harper back in the day. And, you know, I was recently listening to a friend of mine from Canada, Elston, just sitting talking about Nigel and talking about all these old stories. God, Nigel was a man that used to tell a few fibs to.
I like that one.
You know.
Yeah.
So, man, look, you it's hard to stay alive these days, but a lot of people.
Oh, very, very hard. Just I'm struggling.
One by one.
Michael.
Maybe we're getting old.
Yeah.
That's what it is, Carl. We're getting old.
We're getting old.
And Michael is saying, he's struggling. Michael, are you struggling?
Well, like the West Indies. In fact, what reminder do I want to mention too is that when Brian Lara got the 375, the late Robin Smith got 175.
Mm.
In fact, which is his highest test score.
Yes, and he passed as well.
That Lara got the 375, he got 175.
Tell us about Robin Smith, though, Michael, before you go.
I saw Robin, good player, Robin Smith
passed.
Yes.
He passed yesterday.
Yes, he did.
He was on the as well, wasn't he, Carl?
Yeah, because he was in Perth. I saw Robin about 6-7 years ago. We played a game in Perth, a charity game in Perth.
Right.
Could be a bit longer, but, you know, really nice man.
Oh.
Was probably one of the, you know, I first played against Robin back in, I think it was 88. I mean, talking about an Englishman that can hit the ball.
Yes.
Hard boy.
Very hard.
Real hard boy and tough as nails, just like Alan Lamy.
Yes.
And a really, really nice man, you know. But again, 62 is young.
Very young. Yep.
Very young.
I mean, I'm 58.
Mm.
You know, I'm 58, boy.
Yeah, I think I do so, 63.
Yeah. And Michael, how old are you?
64.
What about Ken Husbands?
I think Ken is 52. He tells people that at least.
Yeah, he does that. Well, Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Mason and Guest. We wish you well. Make sure you get up early in the morning, go from Eagle Hall to go down to Brandon's and get some good...
It's really Brandon, not Brandon. The water's a little too low for me at Brandon. I'm a big swimmer, see?
Oh, it's Brighton you go to, not Brandon?
Brighton.
Okay, Brighton you go to. Okay. Thanks, Michael. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Good, pleasant, good evening.
All right, good. Brand, tell us about Nathan Smith. As a bowler, 4 overs and 1 ball, 1 for 18. Tell us about him. How good is he?
Yeah, there's some streak.
I think I think he's going to be a good test match bowler and a good all rounder. Sadly, he's injury prone, and I don't think he gets the consistency of play that the game needs, particularly at test match level. Interesting to hear. Carl talking about seals and not quite the finished product, I think was basically what he was trying to say. I quite admire him as a pace bowler. I think that, he could be one of the very best. These guys have got to get a lot more cricket to improve their games. Nathan Smith has had very little cricket since the international season started a couple of months ago. He's been injured. He played the short form game. I'm just watching him bowl here now. He's bowling two different lengths and both of them are wrong. He's not creating the pressure that the New Zealanders want, and we're seeing in Shea Hope, I think, the sort of partnership building innings that they need. 26 from 42. He scored a very good 100 in the one days. I think he got 100 in the West Indies too, in the test match series there. And New Zealand, Smith is one of them, have basically determined that Shea Hope is not comfortable or confident against the short ball. I don't know. I don't know him that well, but they've dismissed him with the short ball in the white ball games, and they started off by bowling short to him here. Now they can't quite get the right length. If we look back to what the West Indies did yesterday after lunch, they found the right length. They managed to organise their bowlers to create pressure, and that's what set New Zealand onto the back foot. Nathan Smith is bowling now with the Jacob Duffy there, 3 and 4 in the New Zealand lining attack at the moment, but they're not as potent, I don't think anyway, as they should be in conditions as they exist at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect to see Bracewell soon?
Well, not really. I would like to think that they've got the seam bowlers to do the job, but right. He may well be required to bowl. You know, but to me, that's a last resort.
We pick
seamers to do a job, and we've got 4 of them. They should be able to complete the job on this pitch anyway, day 2 early. You know, we've only had, 90 overs of the test match.
Yeah. All right. 441790 is the number. What we're going to do, we're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to certainly take some calls as well. Heading to 7:38 in the country. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our good friends at ASFE Wet Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. Just sing this song, tell me bartender, ASFE is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, the lines are open, 4341790, 4341790. Give us a call and participate in the program. Henry, 8 overs, 3 maidens, 1 for 8. Folks, 7 overs, 4 maidens, 1 for 7. Smith, 4 overs and 4 balls, 1 maiden, none for 19. And Duffy, 4 overs, 1 maiden, none for 16. So it's a bit of a recovery here now. Carl, I mean, they lost 2 wickets early, but Chander Paul is sticking in there, 16 from 64 balls, and Shea Hope, 27 from 46. So this is a decent little partnership. They've got to continue to bat as long as possible. Carl?
Well, yeah, and I think the good thing about Shea's got a start. That's good. And, you know, Chanderpaul is doing what Chanderpaul does. He bats, you know, he's got the ability to bat long periods of time. Hopefully, as that ball gets older, it gets a bit easier because right. it's still similar. And as Charlie said, it'll probably seem wrong for the whole day. But I think the longer that they bat, obviously, batting becomes a little bit easier. It's not going to be easy, but it'll be easier. But we definitely, I think if we can get a lead here, we definitely need a lead here. I think we can roll over New Zealand, man.
Ooh, but obviously, that's a big statement, Carl.
Obviously, it's gonna rest on hope.
Yes, yeah, hope is the man.
Listen, Andrew, I'm not blowing smoke up here, but I strongly believe that a lot of these teams in world cricket today are there for the taking. I'm telling you.
Well, okay.
I mean, you know, people were mentioning, we mentioned South Africa going to India and winning. I mean, New Zealand went to India and didn't they win 3-0?
Yes, yes, they did. Yeah, absolutely.
These teams are there for the taking. These teams are there for the taking. And I think that we can surprise a few teams. We just got to get our batting right.
Yes.
You know, if we can get our batting right, we've got the bowlers. You know, you got Al-Zahri coming back from his injury, when he comes back from his injury, and Joseph and Seals, you know, and I still think those three with Jason Holder, I keep pushing Jason Holder. Those three with Jason Holder, man, you're good. Mm-hmm. And then you get your batters. You're good.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but I think a lot of these teams are, if we win a test match in New Zealand, I won't be shocked.
No.
I would not be shocked.
You won't be. All right, let's try and stick some calls. We're going to try and stick some calls in if possible, Carl. 441780. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, sir.
I want to use this forum to ask for Sir Clark to give me a call and let me know which channel Ray can go to find this cricket in New Zealand.
You're asking Richard Clark to give you a call?
Yes. And the other thing I want to say, Andrew, is this. They say that The Prime Minister of St. Vincent, Godwin Friday,
yes,
it has citizenship of Canada and St. Vincent. He and a fellow near Fraser.
Yes.
So the ULP was always threatening to go to court with them if they should win the government.
Yes.
To remove them. Mm-hmm. So the common opinion is that if Godwin Friday has to go, Kishore Shala would more than likely step up. So I want to know if Kishore Shala step up to be leader. I want to know if he will still be the leader of St. Vincent and West Indies cricket too.
Mm.
Because right now, as it is, I think he should go.
You think so?
Yes.
Mm.
But to be the leader, and that's only what I was reading along the lines, because I was following this thing in St. Vincent every day.
Mm.
I tune into St. Vincent. I follow this thing closely. So as I want you to tell me, if he become the leader, if you think he should remain the president of West Indies cricket.
Well, there's a deputy prime minister. The deputy prime minister is a guy called Major Sinclair Leacock. He
right.
is the minister of national security and immigration. So there is,
right.
yeah. But I think Doc made the point though. It's going to be difficult. To be a Minister of Tourism and Maritime Affairs and still be President of Cricket West Indies, that's asking a lot.
If you want,
it's also going to be interesting to see how people around the Caribbean.
Someone said that he's very insular, and I have to endorse that comment.
Mm.
And I think for him now as a minister, he would become even more insular because he would feel that he has been emboldened.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Thanks for your contribution. Let's take another call. Hello. Welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello. Welcome, Mason and Guest. 441790. Do we have a call? Yes. Hello. Welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night.
Good night to you, our friend from Canada, the DJ.
No, you remember I told you that I'd be happy if you win. You win, you have to go. No, we got a problem in the Caribbean. We back in who we from, what country we from, and that we have to go. The reason we have to go, West Indies cricket is a lot of problems. Tourism calls for a lot. and it cannot do both at one time.
Mm.
So it has to go. Next thing, now, Darren Sammy in New Zealand?
If Darren Sammy is in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, he's head coach. Why you ask?
The reason why I asked, Lane come and bowl a very bad over first. He looked like he was nervous.
Yes.
And I said, Darren Sammy.
Oh, you didn't see Darren?
No, I thought he would have come. Because then, the last time when he had one over the bowl, he ran out. So he only won because he rocked them type of time. Next thing, the captain should have went over to him. The only body that actually went over him was the young fast bowler Steve. Where was Roach? I hear the saying that Roach there to help the youngsters. Where was Roach at that time? Where's Hope? Those are the senior players in the team. They should have went over. I had a word with him. You remember when Patrick Patterson was playing for the West Indies, Michael Holden tell Clive Lloyd, put that man. And he went over, had a word with Patterson, the next ball, he clean ball, I think it was Graham Gooch.
Mm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I said this 10 years ago. I said that when you have a youngster playing, you could have seen he was nervous and he was trying to bowl too fast. Somebody should have went over and said something to him.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing, we in dire need of a coach. Now, if we had a proper coach, they would bowl better. I hope somebody could go over to the coach, the fast bowling coach, Ron Paul, and tell Ron Paul that I said, those young bowlers, you have to put one stump in the ground and let the boys bowl at it. Because I don't know how you're coaching and these are things you're supposed to know. Get the accuracy right. You remember, Jana was Barbados captain. I live close to Kensington and used to go down there and watch. Jana bowled one stump and the fast bowler tried to bowl all six balls and hit it. As you miss it, you start over. These are the things we pay coaches. Why are we paying these people? And they don't know, as you always say, they're not students to the game.
Right.
They didn't got a clue what is going on. Because if you're the good coach and you've got these youngsters, those two youngsters are going to be great for the rest of me, but they need help. We need, the next thing, why Hodge can't play? Darren Sammy picked Hodge because of the pressure? Because I think I would even play before Andy, because Andy's good for 20. And after 20, he's playing all type of fast shot.
Yeah.
And this is not T20.
Not
this
T20. I agree. I agree with you.
His son is Hodge should start from the time Hodge got there. After the captain, his name should be second on the list.
Mm-hmm.
He has. So, you know, the thing is that we pick somebody because the world calling for you, and you're picking, you're not playing. That's like picking Roach. You pick Roach on the team and don't play. He should have start. I don't care. He had to play. I would have played in place of Andy.
Right.
Sometimes you have to make people sit down. You remember to make Marlon Samuels sit down and he come back next match and score 100. Yeah. You have to make people fight for the play.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's sneak a couple of calls in before we go. A couple more. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Hey, Anton. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
Good. Say good night to Sir Carl Hooper.
Good night, Mr. Hooper.
Mr. Hooper, there's a gentleman
good
saying
night, good. Anton, how are you going?
Fine, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, so I would just want to say good night to your panel. Now to start, Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Like, one thing I have a complaint about, even now they're doing it, but sir, earlier tonight, like, when Atanez was at the crease, him and Chandler Paul was, like, running a little bit funny, and, like, we're pushing for the extra runs, but now that I'm here watching it, I see that when Hope gets to the crease, that, like, both of them are running well. But one thing I just want the coaches to strengthen is they run in between the wickets.
Oh.
When it's three, make it three. If you could run four, make it four. So we gain more runs at balls like that. So we could score more competitive totals instead of going out for a little bit of runs with a low ball, and then we look worse.
Interesting. I'll throw that to Carl. Carl, the youngster, is saying that he would like to see better running, more aggression in terms of, and it's an interesting point he's making, because when you see some of the teams like Australia, you know, they turn the ones into twos, you see a West Indian batsman just jogging between the wickets. Interesting point by Anton. Carl?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's all part of batting. You got to try and get as much as you can. You know, we talk about strike rotation, you talk about running between the wickets. All this all of this is part of batting. So he's right, you know. But he's beginning to look a bit better, 65 for two.
Yeah, not bad at all.
You know, if these two can get us up to, you know, 120, 130 for two.
Yes.
You know. I'm engrossed in this test match.
Yeah, I know. I can see it. Carl, what's your view on Tejinder Chanderpaul? What do you think about him as a batsman? You like him?
You see, one of the things that we do right is I knew it was just a matter of time before Tej gets back in the side.
Right,
we in here.
We seem to rotate players in and out. You know, I think Tej, when he came out here with Craig Braffitt and we drew that series, he looked the part. There was something there. I always keep saying there's something there, only because I know it's not the finished product. So we gotta be patient. We gotta give these guys time because they're learning. Because our first class system is not good enough, they're actually learning the game at test level. So we got to give them some time. We got to be patient. Having said that, I mean, if a guy is going through a horrible run of, you know, whether loss of form, whatever it is, he's got to be dropped. But I'm happy that Tej is back because I saw enough to persist with him. Mm-hmm. You know, so hopefully this time around, you know, He stays because I think we need him. You know, you can invest with him. How old is Tej? Tej would be late 20s, 28.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, 27, 28 maybe. Sure. So he can give you, you know, he can be, you know, 6-8 years easy. You know, so I like Tej as an opener. So let's see what happens. You know, but obviously this will be a big series for him because he gets another opportunity. So he needs some runs.
Anton?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Yeah, make some more points.
I feel that West Indies are so far putting in a creditable performance. Hopefully they don't spoil it. But just before I go, I want to talk about you, about a player that I see high before his mm-hmm. little dropping, dipping form. But this, I see Bamba account.
Who's
going on with him? Because in the Super 50, he guided Barbados to the victory, and I saw that he batted very well. But, sir, like in the West Indies team, we have persons like John Campbell, Amir can open, and like Shafir Rutherford in the 50 over, I think, who also have a different form, but they're still keeping him. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in that Australia T20 series, Rutherford made a golden dot twice in a row, and like he still wasn't dropped.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. Maybe they have enough confidence in the record he can come through. So Anton, before we go up, he's got another 2 or 3 minutes left on the show. What are your expectations for the test match? Do you think we can win this one, Anton?
By the grace of God, sir, if the boys do the put in the hard yards, they will come up on top.
By the grace of God, that's lovely. Do you go to church, Anton?
Yes, sir.
What religion are you?
I'm Seventh-day Adventist, sir.
Oh, you're an Adventist. Okay. All right. Do you want to pray for myself and Dr. Ford?
No problem, sir.
And Basil as well, because he needs it.
No problem, sir.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much indeed for coming and talking to us on Mason and Guest. It's always a pleasure. I'm sure you're going to call us again. Season's greetings to you, sir.
Yes, sir. But, sir, you didn't say you wanted me to pray for you.
Oh, but I think I need some prayer. Yeah, please, just around 8 o'clock, you start your prayers, eh?
All right, let us pray. Most holy and compassionate God, thank you, Lord, for another day. Lord, I ask you to be with Mr. Mason and his panelists. Lord, I ask you to be with them, Lord. Help them, Lord, to be safe. Protect them this weather. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful indeed. Wonderful indeed. And that prayer was for you too as well, my friend from New Zealand. That was for you too, huh?
And you know, this is unprecedented on Mason.
Yeah.
Unprecedented.
Absolutely.
Long outstanding.
They just dropped another catch,
yeah.
Andrew, Tej just got dropped at leg slip.
Oh, dear.
Conway the second time.
They've dropped many at leg slip.
Oh, what's going on with your catching there, Brian?
That's the third catch he dropped.
Brian, what's going on with your catching?
He's standing too close.
Practice.
Oh. Standing too close.
Oh, standing too close, huh? Yep.
You can't catch.
Let me say this, right?
Sure.
So sometimes, from a batting perspective, you watch that field, right? And you see from this morning, New Zealand, especially for Tage, they've had this leg gully or a leg slip, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Straight up, yeah.
So they obviously aim. I mean, Charlie would tell you, Charlie used to bowl fast. They're obviously trying to bowl as straight as possible.
Mm.
Okay. He should know this. Yeah. He's not going to get an LBW. He's going to know this. I mean, that the balls that he's been dropped twice, both balls probably sliding down the leg side.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's following
both balls probably sliding down the leg. I hope that Shea goes and have a word with him.
Right.
That, mate, unless you could cover the length, there's no need to be trying to work that to square leg. It bites the inside edge. You're going down there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good observation. So
these are just little things. You know, he's been dropped twice now by the guy behind.
Yep.
But
there were two simple catches.
Look, he can allow that to hit him in the tight pad.
Yeah, I agree. Gentlemen, we got another minute and a half left on the show. What are your expectations for the test match? Let's start with you, Sir Carl. After a shaky start, the guys have done pretty okay so far. What are your expectations?
I know I sound a bit crazy, but I think that I hope we win it. my biggest concern with this test match is I think the tail is long.
Too long.
Once New Zealand get a breakthrough, and they will.
Yes.
I don't think there is much to come.
I see. Much to come.
What I'm saying?
Right.
I don't think there's much to come.
Right.
But I hope, again, I think we've got the personnel out there. If we get a good 11 on the park.
Yeah.
Good 11 on the park. I don't want to see the boy Lane and Shields playing together.
Oh, okay. Right? No, you don't want that at all.
I want that. Linkner batting a little bit. Linkner batting a little bit. And so this test match, I don't think we'll win it, right?
Mm.
But from the three test matches, I hope that we can get one.
All right. Well, we got to go, gentlemen. It's just another minute and a half left on the show. We got a program sponsored at 8 o'clock. So I want to thank you, Sir Carl, for coming and talking to us. Thanks to you, Brian Waddle. Always good to have you. We're going to pray for you. Anton says he's going to have extra prayer for you and for Dr. Ford as well. He needs it. And of course, Basil Butcher Jr., who becomes senior very soon. Thanks to you, Garfield Charles. Please go back to Guyana. Come on, man, and help Azharuddin Muhammad there in Guyana. I'm Andrew Mason. He's open for a bar tomorrow. It's good night.
All right. Thank you.
Cheers.
Carlos.
Yes, Carlos.
Good morning. Yeah.
Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day. The winning side.